we'll have three people speaking, Pastor Kim and Todd and myself, and my part kind of goes now. We had a wonderful retreat and a forming of the new Blue Water Presbytery. There are about 28 or 29 churches in the presbytery. And we had, including elders and pastors, on Saturday, we had around 150 people at Mount Hermon. We had wonderful speakers. And Pastor Kim asked us to speak about something that resonated with us. And that's what I'd like to do now. One of the speakers that we had was Nancy Beach. She's from the Chicago area, and she deals with churches who are trying to grow and trying to analyze who they are and where they want to go. And one of the topics she talked about was car talk. Anybody ever have car talk? Sometimes that's the best place to, do you talk with yourselves or other people? But sometimes that's the best place to talk. And she talked about car talk on the way home from church on Sunday morning. Any of you ever had car talk about worship on the way home from church on Sunday morning? Okay, some of you aren't smiling, but some of you are. In my church in which I grew up, some of the people used to have the pastor for lunch. And that wasn't an actual lunch. That was a tearing apart of the pastor as they drove home from church on Sunday morning. But she talked about five aspects of car talk, and one was about worship, or five were about worship. And the first one, she said, people talk about worship as they go home, and they say, that was... Okay, that was good. And that's what we want worship to be. We want worship to be. We want it to be excellent. We want it to be a moment of beauty. And then she talked about, on the way home from church, they kept my blank the whole time. Attention, my interest the whole time. What engaged you? And we want you to be engaged in worship. And then I was moved where there was a transcendent motion, a moment in worship. And then the blank really connected with me. The message really connected with me. It's transformational teaching. And then the fifth one, I resonated with the others, but the fifth one was something that really resonated with me and something that's been on my heart for the last few months. And it's this. And we take the theme of today is taking the plunge. And the fifth one was about those people are real. They're authentic. Nancy Beach told of a boy aged 12. When he was asked about his favorite part of worship, she expected him to say, maybe the children's message. She was surprised when he answered, the greeting time. And then she watched him go throughout the sanctuary getting hugs from everyone, not just children his age, but hugs from everyone, young, old, and older. This was affirming to him. He enjoyed those hugs, and the greeting went on for several minutes. It was a warm, relational, intentional time. I was reading in Christianity Today, the September 2016 issue. It was put together by some authors from the Fuller Youth Institute. And this was a part of the article. And it reads, an enthusiastic group of 20-somethings from Emmanuel Church of the Nazarene in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, recently gathered to share what they loved about their congregation. One noted the modern worship music and relevant messages at Sunday morning services. Another said the spiritual depth of the community challenges her to follow Jesus. Still another mentioned the friendships built during a mission trip. When a 22-year-old offered her two-word answer, every head nodded. It wasn't the name of a program, but a person, Bill Wallace. Whether he's attending Bible study, showing up to a basketball game, or simply saying hello in the hallway, Wallace has made it his mission to ensure that young people know they matter. Wallace is 76 years old, just a little older than I. Remembering a childhood when adults failed to show up for his important events, Wallace resolved that no young person at Emmanuel would experience the same on his watch. As we greet each other today, let's be warm, relational, and authentic. Seek out someone much older than you or much younger. If you can do that, Dean, can you find someone much older than you? Okay. Or someone much older, younger. And when you ask how you're doing, just be honest. And one of my prayers for our church is that we will be authentically intergenerational, embracing all ages together in worship. Let's truly take the plunge now and embrace each other. Remember, this could be someone's favorite part of worship. So would you all stand and seek someone out and truly embrace them and welcome them and greet them to worship today? How did that feel? All right, good, okay. That may become my favorite time of worship. I hope you feel welcomed. And if you're visiting with us, come back. We would love for you to join and worship and gather with us here at West Valley Presbyterian. And did you shake the hands of children? I hope you did. All right, children are dismissed and may go to their children's hour. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. That was that's a good experience, you know. It really is to be with other people, to be welcome, to have that welcome extended to you. So we are all blessed. So please join me in prayer. We say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Why don't you repeat after me? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Dear God, you are holy. You are worthy of our complete devotion. You are our God, and we worship you. We worship you here today. We worship you because you created the world and all that we see around us. We worship you because you created us. You gave us life at our birth, and you continue to give us life each and every day. We worship you because you love us. You have a plan for us, for our time after this world, and you have sent your Son, Jesus, to show us the way to you. We thank you for the life you've given us and for the love you've given us that we do not always deserve, but we never deserve. We individually thank you. And we corporately thank you, too, with one voice. We say, thank you. And we say this in the confidence that you hear not only our individual thank yous, but as if everybody in this room shouted at the top of their lungs, thank you. And, Lord, we ask that you listen to our prayers. As we look inside of us, we need your help. You know, we have spiritual ills. We do not always honor you as we should. We've been sinful. Forgive us. We have physical ills, Lord. Heal us. You know, thank you for the chemo that helps us get along and get by, or the chemo that helps in the healing process. We thank you for the doctors that help us out, guide their hands. But heal us no matter what our physical infirmity. We have mental needs. Calm us. Release our burdens. Let them fall away from us. Let them fall away from us. We have physical needs for jobs, housing, other things. We ask that you provide for us, that you hear our prayer. And we offer our individual prayers at this time in silence, again, with the faith that as we say this, our prayer silently, that it is as if everyone in this room was joining in with us. So we offer our prayers. Hear our prayer. Dear Lord, we pray these things in confidence that you have heard our prayer and our petitions. And Jesus tells us that this is true, and we believe him. And we believe all that Jesus told us to do. And now we pray the way that Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
One thing they don't tell you when the nominating committee calls you to be a deacon is that the first martyr was a deacon and was stoned. And I'm telling you that, but I'm also saying we do need deacons right now. So, but at that time in the early church, deacons. I mean, now you're an ordained officer of the church if you're a deacon, and you help the poor and those that are sick in the congregation. But back then, and it's an honor to be a deacon. Back then, though, it really was sort of the lowest rung on the ladder. You were more like a servant. You didn't teach. You were sort of considered, you know, one of the lower members of the church. Everything was status back then in the Roman world anyway, and also that also in the early church there was more of a ranking. So it's so amazing that Stephen, who was one of the lower servants in the church, was all in for the gospel, isn't it? That he didn't compromise. He totally was in it for the sake of sharing Jesus Christ. And he didn't back up and say, oh, I'm not a teacher. I'm not one of the apostles or the disciples who are teaching. I'm not going to defend the faith to these scowling religious leaders. No, he did. He did it, and he was so compelling, he made those religious leaders so mad at him. But he was full of the Holy Spirit as he did this. If you notice, and they said it really quickly in the video, his face, as he defended the gospel, as he shared Jesus, was like the face of a, what? An angel. Boy, they were looking at the face of an angel as he told them, or like the face of an angel, looked like an angel, as he told them the truth about Jesus Christ. I wonder what that was like for those religious leaders. Well, as Bob told Bob and Todd and I were at a pastor's retreat Thursday and Friday at Mount Hermon, and then on Saturday we had about 150 elders come to Mount Hermon from Nevada down to Carmel, and we all learned about something called the Elder Leadership Institute that we're actually pioneering as a church on our session. We're sharing our spiritual autobiographies together. And I just want to say this church is amazing. I have been in big churches, bigger than this. I have been in smaller churches than this. I will tell you, this church is amazing the way you show up for things. And I just want to thank you for being involved. So many of you came to this Saturday elder retreat, and we had wonderful participation, and people have been asking me about it. Thank you for your involvement. I've just always been impressed with West Valley, its size and its ability to show up for things and do wonderful things. But what I said to Bob and Todd is I really want the congregation to understand what we are a part of now. We are part of the Evangelical Covenant Order of Presbyterians. And it's an amazing movement. They call it a movement because as we worship together, we sense the Holy Spirit. Together, I want you to know that most of my ministry, I have been very alone. I haven't had a lot of colleagues who really were with me theologically. And now I'm surrounded by friends and people I'm not arguing with, which is wonderful. And we have an understanding in the Holy Spirit that is new to me, but it gives me energy and life. And I'm so grateful for that. I want you to be excited about what we're a part of. I want you to understand that the denomination is going somewhere, that we want to move forward, that we're all about mission, that we're all about sharing the gospel, and that there's a wonderful synergy, a wonderful vision, and a wonderful sense of collaboration that we felt at this gathering. I am going to sort of plunge in here, and I am going to throw away my notes. I just want you to see them because I want you to know that I did prepare, okay? I'm going to throw these away because I want to illustrate something to you. I want you to know that the word denomination is a little outdated. If you haven't noticed, most people don't know what a denomination is or what it stands for. It's a little bit static. And I was asked several times in the past month, is Presbyterian Christian? Okay? You can understand. Presbyterian, what does that mean? All right? Do you believe in Jesus? And do you even believe in God? People will ask me when they see the word Presbyterian. Now, that's not to deny our rich heritage and theology that is so important. But sometimes the word denomination means a kind of, it just seems static, not moving. And what ECO, the Evangelical Covenant Order of Presbyterians, is saying is this is a movement. We are involved in a movement. So I'm throwing away my notes, and I'm suggesting to you that if I just stood here and talked to you from a static position, that I might lose some of you in a little bit. That you might start thinking about what you're going to have for lunch, maybe, or something you have to do next. But if I move among you, you're thinking, oh my gosh, what's she going to do now, right? If I start to move among you, all of a sudden I have your attention. Maybe it's annoying to you, but I have your attention, and I'm moving, and I'm walking, and I'm not using my static notes that, by the way, I did prepare, so don't fire me, all right? So this is a movement, and when it's a movement, Jesus said the Holy Spirit was like the wind, and you can't have wind without having movement, right? The wind moves, it blows where it wills, and in this denomination, or what I prefer to call movement, the Holy Spirit is at work. And what we were told as clergy was that who thinks we need to be busier here at West Valley and have more programs? You do. All right, you're on. I'll assign you. That we don't need busier churches. We don't need busier churches. And they said, we don't need friendlier churches, although that's a good thing. But if you're trying to be friendly, you know, you burn yourself out that way. Busier burns people out. Somebody was just talking to me this morning about how they church had burned them out. Right? Not this church, another church, but some of you burned out. I know that. Okay, burn them out. Burning out. Trying. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What the church needs is the movement of the Holy Spirit. The church needs people whose hearts are ablaze with the Holy Spirit. Okay, which, and why would that not burn us out? I'm walking down. I'm losing some of you, even though I'm moving. I can tell. You think I don't see you? I see you. I can see you. Why would that not burn us out if our hearts are ablaze with the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do what we're called to do. And we don't have to try so hard. But what we do have to do as the body of Christ in this movement of the Evangelical Covenant Order of Presbyterians is we have to nurture our relationship to Jesus Christ. And by the way, there's an app for that. And it's called Pray As You Go. So if you have trouble with the traditional quiet time, you get distracted, check out Pray As You Go. I checked it out. It's pretty good. So we need to nurture this daily relationship with Jesus Christ, right? That will open the way for the Holy Spirit to move in our lives so that we can be ablaze, so we don't burn out doing things we're not gifted to do, but we do what the Holy Spirit calls us to do, and then we receive the grace to be able to do it well. And if we're working in our area of passion, it will come naturally. We will pray about what we have to do. We're not going to do everything. We're going to pray, and the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us. They told us the people in the pews are far smarter than we give them credit for. All right? And what we are supposed to do is unleash you. Now, I don't know. I have a golden retriever who's on a leash most of the time. And when I unleash her, she runs. And the point of being unleashed, and I don't hold control over you to unleash you in this sense, but sometimes the church has restricted people in wrong ways. And it's all been done with the right intention that we want to keep things decent and in order, and that's a good thing. But sometimes people think, well, I'm not spiritual enough. I can't be doing this or that. And what this movement tells us is that we're all ministers. It's the priesthood of all believers, and that everyone has a calling, and that God has gifted all of us with the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That Spirit is the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. Did you hear that? That power is what? The very power that what? Let's all say it together. That power that lives in me is the very power that... So, friends, all things are possible. And we can fully immerse ourselves in nurturing our souls, right? Our personal relationship to Jesus. We can fully immerse ourselves in sharing the good news of the gospel with others. We can take the plunge to do mission and service. Whoever has done a cannonball into a pool or into a lake? Anybody? Good job. I didn't think, Janet, you had done a cannonball, but you have. And that's, I'm trying to imagine that. Yeah, no, I can't imagine that, actually. But when you do a cannonball, do you do it by just sticking your toe in the water? It's a plunge, isn't it? It's all of you. And that's what Stephen did, his heart ablaze with the Holy Spirit. It's all of me, God. You got me. He gave his life for that. Let's take the plunge as an eco church to be all that God wants us to be. Not getting burnt out, but nurturing our souls and being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and knowing that God will give us exactly what we need to do exactly what he's calling us to do. Amen. Amen. Okay, now I want to hear from Todd, because Todd was there the whole time, and he has some things to share with you as well.
All right, Kim, here are my notes. I'll add them to the floor here. One thing I'm enheartened by with ECO is the whole purpose of Presbytery and the larger organization is to enable us to do our jobs better. And our jobs is to be God's witnesses to those around us, to those outside of these walls, and to people inside of these walls. So I want to talk about one exercise that we did during the pastor's part and how it applies to you and to me. So there was the consultants gave us this exercise. It was called, I think, the Life Walk. And we were asked to write down 7 transformational events from our life and how old we were when that happened. So we did this individually, and then we got in a little larger group, and we shared those. But we only had 1 minute per event, and we had to talk as if it was if we were that age. So we had, you know, about 15 sheets of paper on the floor, and each one had an age range. So you would start out, and like I might say, I'd stand at the, you know, 6 to 10 year old paper, and I would say, I'm 8 years old. My mother, grandmother, and myself are in a VW bug headed from Withy, Wisconsin to California because my parents have just had a divorce. And then I would go to the next age and, you know, give that transformative event there. And after listening to 6, 8 of these, you really get the impression how bad things happen to people, right? Like in that case, that was my divorce story. But that wasn't the worst one. One of them was, hi, I'm in a car with my mother, my older sister, my younger sister, and we're driving away from my dad. But we couldn't take our youngest sister because she couldn't keep a secret. And it's heartbreaking, right? You're going away to a different state to get to a better place where you have to go. But this story wasn't alone. You know, another story was that they were being evicted because of financial problems due to drug and alcohol abuse. But despite those challenges, those people survive. And I know many of you in this room have stories like that, and you have survived. And these other events that they talk about are people in the church who reach out to them and who foster their faith so they can... So there's hope. So that horrible event does not become the transforming event of their entire life. But there is hope. And as I think about what we do here, as, you know, we have this crash, we invest in our youth. Just like we hire Kirkland, or Carlin, to work with our high schoolers, with our dedicated team of high school advisors. That's a real investment in youth, so they don't end up with something bad defining who they are. But we give them that hope. And it's the same way with Crash Zone. We have some days 50 junior hires running around this campus, and they just need, and we do this because we want to invest in them too. We want to at least make available to expose them what a Christian looks like. You know, maybe they're going to ask about that. And all we have to do is be present. You don't have to prepare a curriculum or anything. You just have to be there. Now, you may think a junior hire is as scary as a Pharisee with a stone, right? But, you know, they're not. They're not. Ask Veronica about this. You know, they're little kids trying to be big kids, but, you know, they still want to play those games that little kids want to play and stuff. So that's something we can do. That's that we can enable those kids to know more about what a Christian is. Many of them have no idea. But we have to show up. We have to jump in. You have to make yourself available. If you don't believe me, talk to Veronica. If you can jump in, ask Veronica when you can show up and volunteer, you know, a couple hours a week with Crash Zone. That's how we jump in. And I realize sometimes jumping in seems like we only want to jump in if it's a nice, clear swimming pool. We can see exactly what's beneath us, right? But who's gone swimming in the Delta, right? You can't see what you're jumping into. You got to have faith. And that's the faith we need to have. That was the faith Stephen had. He was fulfilling that great commission. He was going out proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and he didn't know where it was going to end up. So I'm encouraged that ECO is enabling us. It's about what we can do. It's not about what, you know, they can do with some, you know, larger structure. So that's kind of my impression of the pastor's conference and my invitation to you to get involved in what we have going here. I know there were 9 others who attended. I don't know if anyone else wants to give their impression of, realize I'm catching you off guard, but do I have any other takers who were there? Judy, I got you. You okay?
Well, obviously, I didn't go to the pastor's part of it, but yesterday, the instruction and discussion that we had, and there were a bunch of elders there and some non-elders, was had nothing to do with politics. It had nothing to do with the upper structure of ECO or what we wanted, you know, somebody to tell us to do. It was really how we could improve session by being closer to Christ. And that, it was really simple. And that isn't that the basis of why we're here? And so we're trying to change that within the leadership of our church, and I was really encouraged by that.
Anyone else? All right. Well, thank you, Judy. All right. Let me close us in prayer for a little bit. Dear Jesus, we have in front of us a great example of Stephen, who is wholly in. He just jumped right in, Lord. Lord, we ask us that you help us to jump in, to be part of your commission. No, we don't ask you that you help us, Lord. We commit ourselves to jump in right now, to do what Stephen did, who was just a person, that we can do that too, Lord. We commit ourselves. We do our cannonball into the dark water that we cannot see because we have faith in you, Lord, because you loved us first. So bless our activities in this church. Bless as we go along. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.